Don't get a doll or dinky tinker toy. Just get a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy.
Hello to all our creepy elves on the shelves.
Yeah, they're watching you.
I'm Tammy Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic, Christmas toys.
Yeah, you've heard of Elf on a Shelf. Now get ready for child labor from your international neighbor.
Yes. Hello and thanks for joining us. Hello, Ben.
It's Christmas time in Rose Library. Ho, ho, ho. Welcome, everybody, to our Christmas episode.
Right. Christmas episode. We're going to talk about some amazingly joyful and wonderful things today.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah. Okay. So, Ben, is there a Christmas from childhood that stands out because you really wanted this one toy and Santa Claus brought it to you?
Well, before I tell you that, for the last few years, okay. I've been asking Santa for a PS5.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he didn't bring me one.
Right.
So I'm going to channel my Loretta Lynn to heck with old Santa Claus. When he goes dashing through the snow, I hope he falls. So I love Christmas songs.
Yes.
So you better believe I'm going to try to throw in as many as I can, possibly. Today,
okay,
in
good.
Our script.
All right,
but,
good.
But back to your question, there was a Christmas when I was maybe like 14 or 15, and I wanted a Nintendo 64, and I did get it. And I've got two younger sisters, and they got the things that they wanted. And my grandmother and my Aunt Chloe were there with us on Christmas Day, and they're both gone now. And we were just like together. It was just like a happy family Christmas.
Yeah.
We got what we wanted, but we were all, it's definitely my favorite Christmas memory.
Christmas memory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Yeah. So the really commercial Christmas, I would say the one where I remember getting all of the things.
Yeah.
I think I was around 6 or 7 years old. And I have photos holding all these gifts. So that's kind of why I remember it.
Yeah.
The Simon Says game where you press the red, green, blue, yellow button.
It was like the big black wheel.
Yes.
I never had one, but I remember seeing it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Loved it. I got a Miss Piggy doll from the Muppets. I loved the Muppets. Mm-hmm. And the biggest and best gift of all was my bicycle.
Oh my gosh, did it have training wheels on it?
It did not. So I had to learn how to ride it very quickly. So basically we just went out in the alley behind my house and the neighbor kids just pushed me. And so it was kind of like, you know, learn or fall.
Yeah, sink or swim, sink or swim.
So later that bicycle would be stolen. And the funny thing is I would find the stolen bicycle and it was like chopped for parts. Like they only took the tires and the brakes off of it.
A kid's bicycle in a chop shop. Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So anyway, for today's episode, we thought we'd ruin Christmas for our listeners because that is what we do in Justice Studies.
Right.
By focusing on the misery of the Christmas industry because of the heightened consumer demand in the West for decorations and toys.
Yeah, we are mean ones. Mr. Grinch, our hearts are empty holes.
You really are going to put Christmas songs everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this will be great. I witnessed this consumer demand on full display when I worked at Walmart as an undergraduate. Do you remember Tickle Me Elmo and Furby? These were the must-have Christmas toys of 96 and 98.
Like, I remember the craze. I was a little bit too old
for
both of those at the time. But I definitely remember, like, seeing on the news people going nuts over them. And I guess you saw it.
Yes.
Firsthand.
So Furby's slogan was, the more you play with me, the more I do, I will keep amazing you.
Ooh, sounds dirty.
Yes.
Now, Santa baby, hurry down my chimney tonight and let me amaze you.
Yes. Okay. That was enough to send parents into a frenzy trying to get this toy for their children. But it was just another fad toy where the popularity just comes out of nowhere. There's an intense increase in demand and reduction in supply. And the 1983 Cabbage Patch Kid fad was similar.
Yeah, that was a bit before my time. I was just two in 1983.
Yes.
But I actually did have a Cabbage Patch doll that I got by accident.
Oh, okay.
In Pound, Virginia. I know I've told you this story
before.
Yes, you
have,
yeah. Yeah, like there was a... in, you know, 100% white pound Virginia.
Yes.
At, from the Sears store, they accidentally sent somebody a black Cabbage Patch doll.
Yes.
So we were behind them in line in Sears, mm-hmm. and they had, they were like returning the doll because yes. they, you know, wanted a white one. But I wanted the black one. I was like, please. So I had a little black Cabbage Patch doll that,
that
I love so much.
So cute. Mm-hmm. I never had one because we were poor. So anyway, although I did not personally witness any fights, I was yelled at more than once. One time it was just because I was in proximity to a cart that held about five Tickle Me Elmos that came off the truck.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so the people who got them were just the lucky people mm-hmm. who happened to be walking by.
And you didn't have any rules about like,
not yet.
This like the toilet paper and pandemic,
no.
you can only take one?
No, it there were like, no rules yet. The only gotcha. Rules were that employees couldn't get them, right? Because then yeah. there would be none because right. the employees would take them and resell them.
Mm-hmm, for yeah. sure. Mm-hmm.
So we got yelled at for not making like a store-wide announcement that they were available, which would have ensured people ran over and fought over the toy.
Yeah, Timmy got run over by a reindeer pulling her shift at Walmart Christmas Eve.
These savvy shoppers figured out that things come off the trucks on specific days, you know, unloaded at
yep.
night.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would stalk our store.
Oh my
and
gosh.
We saw videos on TV about what was happening in other stores.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember that one more so than the Furby holiday one. One of the Tickle Me Elmos was even stolen from a secured lockup at NYPD, and it led to an internal affairs investigation.
Oh my gosh. So like this was like the evidence room? Like
yes.
Tickle Elmo me?
Yes.
Tickle Me Elmo is a like evidence in a crime?
Well, it was. They were confiscated from somebody selling them on the street.
Oh, gotcha.
Everybody
gotcha.
Was trying to make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the demand was so high,
mm-hmm.
you got your hands on a couple of these
yeah,
that
gotcha.
Fell off the truck,
mm-hmm.
and then you could resell them. So they were confiscated, and they were in secure lockup, and then
oh
somebody in NYPD stole one.
That
and so
is
the
hilarious.
IA investigation
yeah.
resulted.
Mm-hmm.
The Furby holiday season was also when interactive toys and toys mm-hmm. attached to a TV show or films were extremely popular, and that,
gotcha.
That trend continues today.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into it, shall we?
Yep.
Major toy manufacturers such as Hasbro, Disney, and Mattel have factories in China,
mm-hmm.
where it is estimated that approximately 85% of toys on the American market are produced. And so for this reason, we're going to focus primarily on China in the discussion.
Yeah.
So China now has the world's largest economy. It's which has lifted mm-hmm. hundreds of millions of Chinese out of poverty and created a middle class.
Yeah.
But most of the manufacturing jobs are held by migrant workers who come from poor agricultural regions in the country.
Hmm.
So there are an estimated 290 million migrant workers making electronics, textiles, toys, etc. So they're organized by a registration system, which requires them to remain migrants
mm-hmm.
Throughout their lives within their own country.
That almost sounds like forced labor, or like trafficking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's gray, right? So for larger cities in Guangdong province, which is, most people are familiar with that because
mm-hmm.
there are so many factories there. And when you hear about factories in China, it usually is in this yeah. province. So it's almost impossible for rural residents to change their migrant status due to strict regulations put in place,
mm-hmm.
which means they do not have the same access to services as other Chinese citizens, including the education of their children and health care.
Yeah, that is trafficking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the country has been shifting more to a service-oriented economy. And it is this marginalized group that remains for a big part working in the manufacturing industry, such as with the toys.
Mm-hmm.
So reports find that Chinese workers are subjected to nightmare working conditions during holiday seasons. These are the toys that end up at our Walmarts, our Targets, our
yeah.
Costcos, and other international retailers around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the info I'll be citing in this section actually comes from the report titled A Nightmare for Workers. Not a nightmare before Christmas,
yeah, no, mm-hmm.
but a nightmare for workers.
Yeah, right.
So this is the result of several groups, including China Labor Watch and ActionAid, sending undercover investigators to the factories where they make these toys, and they found, of course, serious violations endangering workers.
Mm.
So in peak production season, which is the holiday season, right? Employees were working up to 175 overtime hours per month, and they needed to work overtime in order to receive livable wages. So it's not really a choice.
Yeah.
They also did not receive training on toxic chemicals that they're working with or have adequate PPE,
which mm-hmm. we're much more familiar with after the pandemic.
Yeah.
Personal protective equipment when working with these chemicals. They lived in extremely poor conditions in dormitory style housing, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I
yeah.
think some people are familiar with these mm-hmm. kinds of dorms that these workers mm-hmm. in the factories are living with because they show photos of them online and on television.
Yeah.
So there are labor laws in China, to be clear, mm-hmm. But they're poorly enforced, especially during peak season. Mm-hmm. Rights violations in Chinese factories have been well documented by human rights activists, investigative journalists, and labor NGOs. Mm. So local governments relying heavily on investment for economic development, they turn a blind eye to rights abuses occurring in factories and they fail to properly enforce labor laws. So again, we're talking about a system here.
Sounds like Santa's running a sweatshop.
Santa is running a sweatshop.
Yeah. Like the shift supervisors have to dress up like Santa and make all the workers sing Christmas songs while they're... Yeah. laboring away in the sweatshop.
Christmas toys. I've got lots of Christmas toys.
Or we are Santa's elves.
Made in China. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Foreign multinationals, to address their reputational risks, publish codes of conduct listing the rights and working conditions that they require their suppliers to respect. Decent wages, acceptable working hours, complaint mechanisms to combat discrimination, etc. But they do not tackle the fundamental issues in their supply chain. They create the conditions for exploitation by putting pressure on these factories to produce on deadlines for the holiday season.
Yeah, that's not good. But what about in the U.S.? So that's, you know, like toy production in China. What about the history of child labor in the U.S.? I guess we're going to talk about history. So that means it's our... time machine time. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of child labor from Christmases long, long ago.
Did you
take
make that
it
one
away?
Up? Or is that one actually?
Yeah, that's. I think it's the most wonderful time. That's from that one. I mean, the song is not about child labor. I plugged that in, but
I know,
otherwise,
I'm just feeling like you should like copyright these songs that you're creating during this episode.
Well, I am plagiarizing most of them, so that might get me in more trouble.
True. So I do want to mention the history of child labor in the U.S. because toys in the early 20th century were often made by poor children in factories and tenements. Mm-hmm. So there are some famous photos taken in 1912 by Lewis Hine of children in tenements sewing dolls in New York City. And these were displayed alongside photographs of middle-class children playing with the same dolls in Central Park. Mm-hmm. So child labor, this was, you know, pretty helpful in terms of getting this prohibited the following year by law. Opponents of child labor in the 20th century used Christmas to draw attention to these labor practices. Hmm. Life magazine, which was very popular at the time, featured a 1913 cartoon also contrasting the child laborer making toys for other children. Mm. So there were also books, articles advocating for boycotts on products made with child labor.
Yeah.
Florence Kelly introduced the white label, which was given to businesses that refused to sell the products from child labor. And the movement raised consumer awareness and helped spur the effective abolition of most industrial child labor in the United States in 1938. Mm. So today, many corporations and trade associations might have official policies against child labor, but they do not support import bans on products from child labor made abroad. Profit over people means that they also have successfully lobbied against legislation supporting bans. So one senator, Tom Harkin, a Democrat from Iowa, introduced in 1992 the Child Labor Deterrence Act, which would ban the import of goods made by children under the age of 15, but it has repeatedly failed to pass.
Oh, my goodness. So what are some solutions other than just simply not buying toys?
Well, that
for
is
Christmas.
That is one option. Yeah, right,
that is the Grinch option for sure.
Yes. So this is another example, as we discussed in the ocean trash and fast fashion episodes, of where individual responsibility or individual choices being mm-hmm. offered as solutions to global practices and policy. So, for example, fair trade labeling allows consumers mm-hmm. choices in which products to purchase, but then places the responsibility back on the consumer rather than thinking more about the global economy and supply chain.
Yeah.
The primary market for these goods are wealthier nations who are not interested in banning toys, as we said, made mm-hmm. by children or from poor working conditions in factories in Bangladesh, India, or China. Mm-hmm. The U.S. is the world's largest market for child labor goods.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like full circle. Like, we ban child right. labor and we don't want our children
yes.
working in sweatshops and harsh factories, but we do want nice cheap toys and don't care if it's
yeah.
out of sight, out of mind.
Right. No
kids overseas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the U.S. Department of Labor does focus on child and forced labor through research, and I will link to the 2022 report in our show notes. And because it is 2023 and the solution to everything is in an app, they have an app. The iLab produced mm-hmm. two apps, actually, called one was called Comply Chain and the other is Sweat and Toil. But these are primarily educational tools to learn about research in these areas. Mm-hmm. You can review laws and regulations, but you can also browse the list of goods produced with child or forced labor.
Mm-hmm. Make that list. Check it twice.
Right.
Find out which companies are naughty or nice. Naughty, child yes. labor, big time.
And when you find out which ones mm-hmm. are naughty, you still can't really control not purchasing goods from there, right?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Where are you going to shop? You have to make your own toys.
Make your own toys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Create your own sweatshop with your own children. Make your children make their own toys. Why not? So economic stress means that more people end up being recruited to work because they have no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they are tricked or coerced. Global estimates are that about 27.6 million people are engaged in forced labor, the majority of which is non-state imposed, 63% mm-hmm. of that. Forced sexual exploitation is about 23%, and forced labor by the state is about 14%. Mm. So one of the key issues discussed in the 2022 report was the impact of the pandemic. And as we discussed in the episode on climate justice, the yeah. burden of the pandemic also fell more heavily on countries and communities least able to absorb the shock,
mm-hmm.
especially already disadvantaged people and vulnerable groups. Poverty forces people to take risks to survive, making them more vulnerable to labor exploitation. And these vulnerabilities are more severe for systemically and institutionally oppressed racial and ethnic minority groups.
Mm-hmm.
As we also discussed, global supply chains obscure the origins of some products. So the forced labor came from only one part, the earliest part, for example, of the mm-hmm. coffee making process. And I say this as someone who loves coffee so much that I always have instant coffee as a backup mm-hmm. in case my coffee mm-hmm. maker goes.
But wait, so go back and explain, you said forced labor earlier part of the coffee process. Tell me
yeah,
a little
so,
bit more about
that. Yeah, it's just coffee. Like part of the global mm-hmm. supply chain, mm-hmm. right? So you get the cacao from one place and, you know, that's harvested from one place, mm-hmm. which that place where it is harvested, the cacao or the coffee bean or the whatever, mm-hmm. chocolate coffee, mm-hmm. whatever you're looking at, that's where the forced labor or child labor is in that
gotcha.
Part of the process.
Gotcha.
But by the time you get your chocolate from Nestle mm-hmm. or your coffee from whatever place you're getting your coffee
mm-hmm.
from, those corporations and companies can say, oh, well, we have these practices and regulations in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's invisible, right? So the forced yeah. and child labor is invisible because it happened so early in the process.
Right,
it's disconnected
mm-hmm.
from the rest of the supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to link to the report, which listeners can peruse if they want to see the extent of imported goods linked to child and forced labor. So you can do that. You know,
yeah.
check out the products,
for
check
sure.
out the apps, download
yeah.
the apps.
Mm-hmm. And try to avoid using child labor
yeah.
or buying products made by child labor.
Yes.
For sure. Well, I guess that's it, unless you have anything else.
I do not.
All right. Well, then that means that it's our minute to spin it.
Yes.
So in the Christmas spirit, instead of a spin, what's your jingle ding-a-ling-a-ling?
I don't really have a jingle, but I have a spin. Is that okay?
Yeah, what's
you
your
can
spin?
Do all the jingles.
Well, I just replaced jingle with spin. Same idea.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. So apparently there's a movement on TikTok where millennial mothers are hashtagging no gifts for Christmas because kids have too many toys. So they're asking and, you know, sort of advocating to give your children experiences instead. So give them experiences instead of toys.
For sure.
But you can also just cancel Christmas toys because of labor exploitation. Tell your child, do you want this toy? It was made by another kid who wasn't allowed to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yikes. That's heavy.
For have kids. That conversation with your children. I mean, in this world, let's have these conversations early.
Yeah.
Ben, what's your spin?
Don't get a doll or dinky tinker toy. Just get a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. Christmas, you know, we talked about gifts. It's not about gifts. It's not about toys. But the let's remember the real meaning and value of Christmas. For me, as a Christian, it's about the birth of Jesus, but about family, joy, togetherness. So it's not about toys. It's not about commercialization.
That's so sweet. Yep. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
happy
everyone.
Happy holidays and happy New Year's. We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center, a nonprofit which relies on support from generous donors like yourselves. Instead of getting your child a toy, you may donate $10 to us to support our educational programming. Click on the link in our show notes to provide that modest donation.